Drag queens, homos, and toddlers. Oh my. Pray for our nation's little ones. If they manage to survive the womb and are lucky enough to have both a mommy and a daddy, they may end up at their local library or bookstore for story time with drag queens. I kid you not. A widely circulated Associated Press news video exposes the repugnant spectacle. To the occasional titters of foolish mothers, glittery drag queen Lil Miss Hot Mess, henceforth referred to as Mr. Mess, read the picture book Worm Loves Worm, illustrated by homosexual children's book author and illustrator Mike Curato, who dedicates the book to his faux husband Dan with these words, and I quote, "To the worm of my dreams," end quote. In Worm Loves Worm, two earthworms fall in love and claim that they both can be the brides and that they both can be the grooms, to which the character Spider responds, "Amazing!" The AP video shows a close-up of the enraptured faces of children, too young to think critically, but old enough to be indoctrinated with lies by deceitful and feckless adults. Worm Loves Worm was written by J.J. Austrian, who explains in an interview with a mom and her two young daughters his motivation for writing it, and I quote, "The idea came about when my son, who's now almost 13, wasn't quite 5 years old, and we lived in the Hudson Valley, and we had the most wonderful neighbors, Pam and Lenore, who are like aunts to my children. And one night I was tucking Joe in, and he looked at me and said, 'Pam and Lenore are married like you and Mommy.' And at the time, women couldn't marry women in New York, and I told Joe that. And he looked at me and said, 'Why not?' And I didn't want to say, 'Well, some people think it's wrong,' because that's such a strong word," end quote. Wrong is too strong a word to be used with almost five-year-olds? At what age does Austrian believe children should be taught right from wrong, using the terms right and wrong? Austrian then expressed some philosophically and scientifically dubious, deep thoughts, and I quote, "So I fumbled for the answer. I said, 'Some people don't think that's natural.' And Joe looked right at me and said, 'That's dumb. They love each other.' I said, 'You're right, Joe. And your mommy and I think that. And Pam and Lenore think that. And we're going to change that.' And I got to thinking about that awful answer, 'It's not natural.' And I thought about nature. And I thought about worms. And I thought, 'You see, nature doesn't care. Nature just cares about love.'" End quote. So, when thinking about his awful answer, Austrian thought, nature doesn't care? Perhaps he's been writing children's books too long. What is this anthropomorphized nature of which he speaks? And what does nature not care about? And when he thinks about worms, he thinks, nature just cares about love? Really? Well then, since some critters show their love through infanticide, filial cannibalism, and incest, perhaps Austrian could write a picture book about birds, felines, canids, primates, rodents, insects, fish, amphibians, reptiles, and birds who kill and devour their babies or mate with relatives. After all, love is love. And then in the service of diversity, the Brooklyn Public Library can have a drag queen. Or maybe an infantilist. Drag queens are so yesterday. Read the book to toddlers. Austrian, who claims to be a Christian, missed an opportunity to tell his son that there are different types of love, and some are not marital love. And he missed the opportunity to tell his son that marriage is a very particular type of relationship that is for a man and a woman. It is the type of relationship that produces children and connects mommies and daddies to each other and to the children that God may give to them. He missed an opportunity to tell Joe that children not only want, but need and deserve to be raised by their mommies and daddies. Austrian continued, and I quote, "I thought about worms because worms are hermaphrodites, meaning they're both boys and girls, and I always thought that is just amazing. And like I said, that is very natural. It shows that nature doesn't care if you're a boy or you're a girl. It just cares about you loving each other. And I thought that would be a wonderful way to talk about love being love." End quote. Where's an eye roll emoji when you need one? Why is it that sexual revolutionaries, when looking to lower forms of life as exemplars of moral virtue, avert their gaze from the truly icky things critters do to one another with nary a hint of a moral qualm? Here's another question about that pesky old nature. How does Austrian know that nature doesn't care whether humans are boys or girls, does care that they love each other, and evidently makes no distinctions between types of love? This points to why conservatives retreat from calling sexual revolutionaries progressive. There is nothing progressive about looking to lower forms of life for moral direction. The interviewer's four-year-old daughter then asks Austrian, quote, "Why was the boy wearing girl stuff, and why was the girl wearing boy's stuff?" Austrian responds by asking his young interlocutor to point to the book cover, which shows the two worms, and tell him which one's the boy and which one's the girl. Of course, she can't, and Austrian uses a four-year-old's inability to distinguish the sex of hermaphroditic cartoon earthworms to make a point about the irrelevance of the sex of humans. And I quote, "You know what? It doesn't matter. Could boys wear dresses if they really wanted to? Should girls never wear pants? Should girls only have to wear skirts? Boys can wear skirts, girls can wear pants. I'm not a cowboy, but sometimes I wear a cowboy hat. Is that okay?" End quote. Well, Austrian is unwittingly treading on dangerous PC territory here. In referring to boys and girls, he affirms the dreaded, and to leftists, mythical, sexual binary. Worse still, when he said that he wears a cowboy hat despite not being a cowboy, he implies that boys who wear skirts are not actually girls. He inadvertently face-planted onto the concrete truth, that is. Last November, The New Yorker wrote about the mother behind the drag queen story hour, and I quote, "On a recent Saturday morning, about 24 small children and their parents gathered in the Park Slope branch of the Brooklyn Public Library for a new reading series. The event was hosted by Michelle T., a writer from Los Angeles who started attending library story hours after becoming a mom. She'd brought her partner, Dashiell Lippman, and their 2-year-old son, Atticus. T. says, "He is pretty butch. We call him Fraticus," T. said. "I'm always pushing a tutu on him, but he's like, no." T's solution, called Drag Queen Story Hour, introduces elements of gender bending and camp. "I have long thought that drag queens need to be the performers at children's parties rather than magicians or clowns," she said. "Drag has become more mainstream. Kids might have seen one on a billboard or on TV." At 11 o'clock, T made her way to the front of the room. "Do you all know what a drag queen is?" she asked the children. "Drag queens are amazing. They get to do fun things like dance and sing and travel and play dress-up with their drag queen friends, and they're all feminists." The parents chuckled politely. The drag queen Lil Miss Hot Mess came out wearing a white sequin tunic dress and matching heels, bright pink tights, and a curly auburn wig. She put on black owlish reading glasses, sat on a folding chair, and addressed her audience. "Can everyone say, when I grow up, I want to be a drag queen?" End quote. This is not my first unpleasant virtual encounter with Michelle T. and her lesbian partner, Dashiell. I wrote about them last fall in Salvo magazine, and I'll quote myself. "In a buzzy BuzzFeed video, two gender nonconforming lesbians, Dashiell and Michelle, discuss their efforts to raise their toddler son Atticus to be free of the constraints of gender. Mom Michelle, who became pregnant via a sperm donor, has concluded that gender, quote, ultimately doesn't mean anything," end quote. Michelle tries to queer her relationship with 17-month-old Atticus, which includes attempting to get him to wear a tutu. Michelle admits Atticus hates it. Atticus calls Dashiell, the genderqueer parent, Baba, which Michelle explains is a name that more masculine female people and even some trans men, that is, women pretending to be men, who are parents, are going by. Michelle frets that Atticus has a book with pictures of boys and girls identified as boys and girls. While reading it, she replaces the offending nouns, explaining, "I'm like child, child." Michelle explains why she bowdlerizes the text. This is where he's learning what things are, and I hate the idea that he's getting imprinted on him. The idea that people who look like this are boys and people who look like that are girls. Sometimes the best thing to do is to be constantly challenging, and sometimes it's just to ignore gender completely. Michelle expresses relief that because Atticus is being raised by a gender non-conforming, masculine-looking Dashiell, he will learn about, quote, the reality of what gender is or isn't, end quote. And this brings me back to the morally challenged, developmentally regressed child man, Mr. Mess, who not only exposed children to deviant ideas, but led them in a perverse performance of the Hokey Pokey, in which he sang, "The hips on the drag queen go swish, 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 all to the delight of mothers and fathers." Librarian Kat Savage believes that Drag Queen Story Hour, which the library hopes to export to other branches, is, quote, fantastic because it addresses all these issues of gender fluidity and self-acceptance and all of these topics that are real, are very, very real, end quote. So, does Savage hope to expose toddlers to every very, very real phenomenon in the world? And does she hope to affirm to children every very, very real phenomenon in the world? If not, who decides which very, very real phenomenon should be presented in glittery, attractive ways to emotionally malleable toddlers? Mom Sarah Ortiz thought the spectacle was great because, quote, there was so much energy. And Mom Kisa Huey said, "It's what I'm looking for in all of our outings, is to present different ways of being in the world and make that fun and available to my kid," end quote. Who needs discernment when you've got energy and fun? This cancer has already metastasized to Chicago. The ironically named feminist bookstore in Chicago, Women and Children First, has hosted two drag queen story times for toddlers, one last December, during which, quote, Chicago's greatest queens, end quote, including the obscenely named Muffy Fishbasket, read Christmas stories, and one this past February when they read love stories in honor of Valentine's Day. Don't worry, it's not too late. You can catch their toddler exploiting events at several Chicago Public Library branches, Navy Pier, and the Center on Halsted, an LGBTQ organization that had received millions of dollars from our bankrupt state. At the conclusion of the video, AP reporter Ted Shaffrey makes an embarrassing attempt to redeem the irredeemable by painting the tawdry propagandistic event with a patina of pedagogy, saying, "Engaging young hearts and minds through sights and sounds," end quote. I would change engaging to manipulating.